Yes, he is. He is a real man. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. No doubt in my mind, a real man. Women, raise your hand if you want a real man. That's right, a real man, a M-A-N, man. This evening on Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. Wanted. Real men. Is chivalry dead? Does he open the doors for you? Does he respect you? Is he a gentleman? Women, what do you consider a real man? The topic of this Tuesday, August 9th, 2022's Let's Do a Radio segment of Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It, is Wanted. Real men. I am your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Unicycle Design, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call in to the show if you want to partake, join in the conversation, or just want to be an active listener at 845-241-9985. And let's talk about it. Wanted. Real men. Donate to keep Let's Do a Radio on the air, the Cash App at $ANAISEVALCOUR to Venmo at the @MZ-INEZ. Real men, are you willing to honestly evaluate yourself and your own attitude? Are you willing to discard wrong ideas that lead to frustration? Are you willing to accept truth even when it hurts? These questions are from thetrumpet.com/866-WANTED. Real men. Let's talk. Real men. Hey, listening audience. Hey, fellas. How you doing out there? I know we have Reverend Ronnie Marshall on the line, as well as my buddy, Mr. Woody. Mr. Aaron Woody. How y'all doing?
All right.
Fine. Yes, fine.
Hello.
Of my real men. Yes. A couple of my real men. Yes. So, let's get started. Real men. He is a real man. I'm going to start with you, Aaron.
Okay.
A real man.
We're
going to get down and get dirty today.
You was here today. When you hit me three times, I knew it was going to be something. So,
yeah, so you know what I...
Yeah, I knew it. She hit me three times. This is real. I said, but I thought about it. It's a contemplation thing I had to think about. So, you know, as I preserve myself for this evening, and I like to just give greetings to everyone out there, and especially us men out there, because I think we know that we're going to get some things handed to us if we be honest and truthful, you know, about what we feel a real man is, not going on our fathers or people, but ourselves, you know. After I grabbed my little brandy and my cigar, I think I was ready. Then you played that song just now. You know what I mean? I said, okay, this is real. From my perspective, from what I know, what women think, what a real man is, probably not even top, you know, rated probably a 4. Because I'm an independent thinker, and I think that most men have been made to feel shameful for our ideology of what we think. We find ourselves walking backpedaling, but we're not doing because, you know, women are a little bit different than us, because you guys have 50 women in a room, there'll be 50 different opinions and different ideas. But if you got 50 men in a room, trust me, it's going to be 80 to 90% the same. You know, so it's kind of hard to understand what we fall in at.
Okay.
The only thing I can say was the basics. Take care of your responsibilities. You know what I mean? Try to be the best example you can, which means let's just keep it real, keeping one world away from the other world. You know what I mean? As men, we're predators and promiscuous by nature. So that's where civilized men find religion. They find ways to hold back some of that animalistic, predatorial of, you know, having more than one woman. You know what I mean? And keeping themselves tied down on that situation. And I tell people this all the time, which I find a lot of women disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. A man has to fight to keep himself
It's okay to disagree. Yeah,
right,
but it's okay to disagree. Go ahead.
It depends if you're sharing color with somebody or not.
Okay.
It kind of changes the reality here, you know what I mean? But
right.
My problem, this is my perspective. A man has to fight something in him to keep himself bound to the circulation of what a real man is and a chronic relationship and so on and so forth. Whereas a lot of us come up here in the word player, you know what I mean? Oh, he's going to have a lot of women. You know, we get that from the age of 2, 3, 4, 5, and man, if you walk up to a bunch of guys, say, what's up, man? Hey, I got 4 women. Go ahead, you got 4 numbers tonight. We claw them on the back. You know what I mean? So we're all put into this position to be promiscuous. And in some sorts, it can take us out of being a real man. In some circles, especially in woman circles, you know what I mean? But in the man circle, it doesn't take us out of being a real man. It just says, well, as long as you take care of home, you are all right. This is how we grew up. And there wasn't no internet, wasn't no Facebook, wasn't nothing, so your private life was your private life. You know what I mean? Now, it is not so much. So as far as like what a real man is, honestly, I cannot answer that question.
All that to say that.
I don't have no foundation to fall back on to say I'm the right qualified person to say that because I've been on both sides of the fence. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say a little.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, let me hear some other words and other brothers speak. And then I could probably kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what I say. Or not.
So you're going to follow what other people are saying.
Yeah, I got to listen to it. I don't think people get their head chopped off. Not tonight.
Okay, Reverend Ron, what would you consider a real man to be?
Well, me, number one.
Okay, you.
That's the answer. There
I love
right
it.
Now let me just clarify what I'm saying. A real man is a man that come of age and recognize his creator. Then he become mature enough to follow the spirit of truth. And when he began to follow the spirit of truth, there come a practice. There come a practice that become a part of his daily practical life.
Okay.
And following the truth, then he opens up to new ideas of how his conduct, his discipline must be carried out. Because he's being held accountable by the spirit of truth within him that speaks to him and keeps him on a path of honesty, integrity, liberal, but he's carried by way of the spirit of truth that speaketh in times of emergencies, in times of relationship intimacy, speaking truth on the practical things of life and how we must live here in this earthly ramification. Then he understands that there is a creator for him.
Mm-hmm.
So now he gets the ways, he understands the attributes of his creator and what his creator expects for him here on the earth. But there, he has to come to that maturity in his life. And God permits that to happen to everyone. Then he governs what it is to be considerate. He finds his approach that works, and the approach that most real men take is what they call love and kindness approach. Now, we know how to be gorillas. We know how to be animalistic and vindictive. But then the approach that God created for us from the very beginning of life was the love and kindness approach, love and kindness. And with love and kindness, a real man knows how to heal, and then on the other hand, he knows how to build. And heal. A real man knows that mythology. I'll say some more later on.
Okay. And then we have, I think we have Joshua.
Yeah.
Is that you, Joshua, out there?
Oh, sorry.
Yes,
how are you doing,
how
Joshua?
Are you? I'm
good,
doing
good,
well,
good.
Yourself?
Oh, I'm well. Thank you. The topic of this evening, wanted, real men. So what do you consider a real man to be?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I was just talking to my cousin, and I was saying, you know, feeling growing up in the city, growing up in the early 2000s, I kind of feel like outside of me, even my father, my uncle, there wasn't exactly a definition of a male role model. I saw, you know, men and males, but they weren't considered to be like real men. So kind of similar to what the gentleman before me was saying, I kind of also believe in like a biblical backdrop of what it means to be a real man. You know, a lot of men today are not really being guided by God. And, you know, God is a very masculine figure. God is someone who is supposed to be the head of a man's life. And I think a lot of men, you know, are being driven by desires such as, you know, weed or sex or other things that's not really building their spirit. I think real men are, you know, are spiritual warriors, not just, you know, men who can fight or produce or create a baby or impregnate a girl or nothing like that. Like, no, I'm talking about like spiritual warriors, men who can pray, men who can fast, men who can cast things out, you know, men who carry around the armor of God. I think that's what it means to be a real man. I think everything else is just, it's more like stereotypes. It's more like, they're more like Hollywood narrations of what a man is. But then the Bible or what God tells you, it would be something different. So that's just what I think.
Okay. And then we have Reverend Jackson out there. Are you out there, Reverend Jackson?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
All is well. How are you?
Good. So, in your mindset, what do you consider a real man to be?
Well, I certainly have appreciated what I've heard thus far, but, you know, to me, the onus really, the man epitomizes the word of God.
He
has to be a representation of the word as he was made in the image of God. But until that time, he has to be led and built along the way through a series of like someone, I think someone mentioned role model, you know, being in a stable, you know, atmosphere, a stable home around a father that you can emulate or look up to, learn from. You don't have to ask questions. You can learn from it. So to me, in my closing, is that it's easy to become dads, you know, biologically, that's just how we're made. But the man, to me, real man, is more about action than his words.
Okay, okay, okay. All right, I appreciate that. Okay, and then we have our none other than Joe from Montana, Montana Joe. We have ministers on the line, Joe, so, you know, be careful of what you say. So what do you consider a real man to be?
You're talking to him.
Who? Reverend Ron, Reverend Jackson, who?
Me.
And why do you consider? Why do you? And why do you consider yourself a real man?
Well, I was joking. I am a real man, but I won't get to me in a minute. What I want to do is make a comparison, a visual comparison
okay.
between the stereotypical real man and the person that other people would never consider to be a real man. You have side
okay.
by side a guy that's 6'2", handsome.
Okay.
Got
okay.
good grades in high school, good grades in college, was president of the student council,
mm-hmm.
became an entrepreneur, got married, got two kids. They might consider him a real man. Ran for councilman, actually made it, but didn't make it the second time around. He is a stereotypical
okay.
real man. Okay?
Okay.
But compared to him, there's a midget. Somebody who's 5'3", had a rough life.
Hey.
Everybody looks
uh-huh.
at him and says either they smirk or they laugh. But
okay.
the so-called real man, he's cheating on his wife. He doesn't get the charity. He even cheats on his taxes. But the midget,
okay.
when he walks past a homeless person, even though that mm-hmm. day he's had a rough day because everybody's looking at him like he's a physical anomaly, he gives some
okay.
money to the homeless person, and he goes home to where he lives. To me, that midget is the real man. He's got moral
okay.
character.
Okay.
He's got mm. graciousness, and he's thoughtful
mm-hmm.
about other people, even though he's going through a hard life himself. So to sum it up,
okay.
a real
he's
man
selfless.
Has a good moral compass. He has a good
mm-hmm.
heart. And it doesn't matter
okay.
if he fits the Hollywood stereotype or if he fits the stereotype of a person who's a non-entity. If you don't have that moral
okay.
compass, if you don't have that personal power within, that graciousness and that giving, you're not a real man.
Okay. So in your eyes,
so,
he's selfless.
Again,
he's a protector, a provider
right.
type of thing. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't have to protect
okay.
and provide for every... Because where you're going with that is that, in the woman's definition of a real man, he's a protector and a provider for just about every woman on the planet. Every woman thinks
okay.
that a real man... If the Titanic were to happen again, that the men would always push onto the lifeboats, the women and the children first, and they would be left on the Titanic to die. No. A real man is a man who says, I am as important as anybody else on the planet. I have contributed a lot to this society, and I'm not giving up my place on the lifeboat for people I don't know. Because if I die,
okay.
I am depriving my mother of her son, my father of his son. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to bring that up. So,
okay.
No,
okay.
he doesn't
you know
necessarily
have
to
mind.
Be a protector and a provider. Okay?
Okay. Okay. That's what a husband is supposed to do. He's supposed to provide, protect, and profess. But he doesn't necessarily have to be a real man. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the wife, too. I mean, if you take a look at the Uvalde incident, remember where the cops stood outside and the children were
mm-hmm.
being massacred by the crazy kid? There was a
mm-hmm.
wife, a mother, who went to that site, took out her two children, climbed over the wall to get her two children, to get them to safety.
Okay.
Now, that, to me, that's a woman. And we don't talk about what a real
okay.
woman is.
That's next time, or the time
okay.
after this. Wow. Okay. And I've muted everybody's line because I had a whole bunch of back noise. So I'm going to, so I want you all to mute your line, and then I'm going to unmute you. And so when you want to say something, go ahead and unmute yourself. So, Aaron, I know you had, you wanted to hear what the others had to say, and I know you had to drop off for a second. So what do you have to say coming back now that you've heard what they've had to say?
Okay, and especially all due respect to all the reverends and the
Me.
Biblical Foundation brothers that spoke, because that is a tale to tell. But we as African American men, we have to understand that we haven't had that long to be real men. It was against the law. It was you could lose the life. I mean, you know. Let's say we're back to after slavery, okay? Or, no, let's just say after slavery. I ain't gonna get you for it. But here comes the Ku Klux Klan. They walk in, they kick down your door, they drag out your son to hang. You sacrifice your life. Or is he not a real man if he allowed that? See, we can't put ourselves in his shoes. So I guess when we come to what is a real man, we also gotta look at the kindness of the African American male, because he's different. Most all ethnic groups, men have been treated a certain way or had a certain way for hundreds of years, but we haven't. We were really freshly grown in the past, let's just be honest, 30 years of having the right to exercise what a real man is to a certain degree. And when I wrestle with that, it's like we deal with a lot of PTSD as African American males. So, you know, we may be able to ride that skirt real well as far as what a real man is, because, you know, we're like creating our own beginning of what a real man is. We don't have that 20th generation man like most ethnic groups have, you know, because we have this tyranny, and let's just be honest, it's a, you know, when a young black child is killed by police or whatever the hell may be, you know, it's the mothers that are out there with the loudest cry. You know what I mean? It's
right.
The mothers that are really out there saying this must stop. The men are sitting back there, okay, I got to be careful how far I play this, because if I get taken out for jumping up, who's going to take care of the bill? Now, I myself, when I heard about the Million Man March, I have to be honest with everybody, I did not approve of it. And everybody said, why? I said, because if you took all the fathers out the houses and put them in D.C., who's protecting the children and the family? Who's going to work? I mean, we didn't know, but they said over 26% of the brothers who went out there lost their jobs. You know what I mean?
Wow. Didn't know that.
And nobody's talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, were we supposed to go on that march? Did that make us not a real man because we didn't make that march? But we stayed home because to holler out loudly what we deserve is to start inside our home. If I take myself out my home, then I'm not protecting my home. Who's protecting? Who's the patriarch? I think and of course, my children, I have 6 sons and 5 daughters. I make it known that I am the patriarch, but I'm not always right. I make it known that I make a sacrifice and I fell on my face and I've done some things that in the so-called book, I would not be considered highly ranked. But I've never left my post. You know, I've never left my post.
Okay.
All my kids know who I am. My grandkids, I have 28 grandchildren. And I have to be here. So I work out. I eat different. I do things because, I'm sorry to say, my son, who I love dearly, most of the kids in this generation, which I kids close in their 30s, I shouldn't be the alpha at 60 years old. I should be the wisdom. But because we don't have any alphas coming up, because they still got the pants back, so they're not set to be patriots. So most black men, we have to hold that post a little longer than we had 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We have to hold that post. I remember my granddaddy was in his 60s. My uncle was an elder. You know what I mean? And now that I'm 60, I look around. I say, I love myself. They're nice kids, everything. But I can't have them, too. They're just not ready for the kids. And I've been a good example as far as staying at my post. But the way society is changing, what the mm-hmm. definition of responsibility, loyalty, and respect is, you know, I mean, me and my son had a battle about immunization shots, you know what I mean? And I had
okay.
to get into it. Like, look, I'm the patriarch. I'm not saying you're supposed to, but I'm saying give people your choices. Don't cut the choice down because you don't agree with it and you're 35 years old. You know, I think you have to be open to certain mm-hmm. things. So I was educating him, whereas 30 years ago, the father really didn't have to do that type of education to his 35-year-old son, who's then still going to marry and so forth. So I think we talk about what a real man is, and we talk about an African-American community, and I'm going to say all due respect to the reverence and everybody, that let's just keep this 100. It's hard to really explain to people who isn't following a certain doctrine how they should carry themselves. You know what I mean? It's very hard to say because some people, if you use certain doctrine of religion or military, like my background, a lot of people will sway away from that. You know what I mean? And it's just so hard because to be a real man, you want to pass on lineage. You want to pass on knowledge. You want to pass on who, you know, this is how you carry yourself. This is how you take care of your family. And
mm-hmm.
the ideology of taking care of a family and being a real man, it's been watered down, you know, and this is a subtext for our community. That, I would say, this is a very, we are divided between our women, as, you know, as everybody knows, this government will indoctrinate an African-American female over top of her spouse, over top of her counterpart to give her more power financially, economically, uh-huh. in the home than him, and we all know. I'm not saying that women shouldn't make more money. I'm not saying that. But when the opportunities are set out there, you know, you get Goldman Sachs who's spending $10 billion on African-American women entrepreneurs. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We're one. Well, that $10 billion should go to the family structure, which means male and female. If you identify yourself as a minority-certified company as a black male, you're not considered that minority in that area. You're considered a disadvantaged minority, which means you have to show different
traits right.
that you're a black male than a female. If a female wants minority certification, she doesn't need 2 years past performance. She doesn't need an EIN number. She needs a Social Security number. So they'll say, well, Obama said, okay, well, women make 77 cents, a man makes a dollar. Yes, but what does a black man make compared to the white man? When do they bring that in and sort of saying we need to get in position to gain some ground because that's where our generational wealth is disposed of in the family, not just in just a separate part of the woman. So they're dividing, conquering us within ourselves, and that's why our diversity as far as what a real man is in certain women who raise kids are so, you know, she's going to divide what a real man is not because of what she's not getting from her children's father. But not knowing his PTSD or whatever he may sometimes be going through with this society is placed upon us. So I just like to say, I understand what people are saying, but this just goes so much deeper than that. You know, that's all. That's all I can say.
For the moment. So to the masses, do the men on the line feel like a lot of the role models you don't have a lot of role models anymore because they passed on or they're in jail or they have been taken away from the home? I'm going to start with Reverend Ron.
Well, for the most part, yes, some of them have been taken away. Some of them have fallen asleep, so on and as such. But mm-hmm. our problem as real men, we're not teaching our women how to love real men. We're not teaching them how to love us. We're only carrying out the tradition of how we're supposed to treat a woman. But we ain't teaching, and nobody look like have been really, really focusing on how a woman's supposed to treat a man. Unitedis got this piece that a lot of people just resting on the tradition. Come home, she going to cook, and she going to do this, run the bath water. But then there's a way that a man wants to be treated by the woman. And I feel like if we, as a race of people, real men, start teaching our women how to love us, then they'll have more respect for us, and then they can pass it along to the young women coming up how they should really treat a man. Or their husband.
Stop right there.
Or their mate.
Stop right there.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes we as women do, but then we still get beat up. Are we supposed to still stay in that?
Well, listen, a real
that
man ain't going to put this woman. Well, no. No, you're not supposed to stay in nothing. Where if you getting whooped and beat up and all this kind of thing, please run out of it because you'll soon,
right.
you soon get killed if you don't. But for the most part,
I know.
My thing is, if we start now at this point teaching our women how to love us outside of what they understand about us and what histories and records have told them about us and the way to treat us, we first got to help them help their conscience get purged. Remember, the conscience is analytical in our mind, right? So that it holds the data. It holds the data of things that have happened to us in the past. It is bad experiences. So what has to happen is when we teach her, start teaching her from this point on how to love us, then we help clear her conscience about us outside of what the records have told her and what society has drawn a picture of in her mind. Because she, our woman got something in her mind that society has branded her with about her black man, about her mate, about her husband. And society tells all women, black women, every race, that the black man is inhumane, even in the history books. So that thing has kind of wore off on the black woman, too, that, you know, he's this and he's that and been a slave and all that. And everybody haven't been a slave in their life. Everybody didn't come from a slave family over in Africa. You know what I mean? Those prisoners of war was in the trade slave. And that's a whole other thing. But for the most part, we need to start teaching our woman how to love us. And it would get in her mind and change the perception that's going on. But this is a bad concept. I don't want to know that. Thank you.
So, Joe, I know that you came back in. I guess, I don't know what happened. So what do you have to say on what you've heard from these men about
well, the Reverend's absolutely right. Yeah, it's not just about black men. It's about men in general.
Men in general.
The women have to be taught how to respect men. Women are taught how to be so-called ladies and how to allow the man to open up the doors, to pull out the chairs, to act like a gentleman. And the man is conditioned to believe that once a woman shows up, he is supposed to think of her as a virtuous human being. That's the furthest thing from the truth. A female is a female is a female is a human being. 40-70% of domestic violence has been initiated by women in the past few years. The women who have produced children in the classroom, women, good-looking women, married to their husbands, have seduced men. Women are not taught how to treat men. They're taught to kind of stray away from men because men could turn into beasts. Yet, if a woman is good-looking, she knows how to use her sexuality to manipulate a man so that he doesn't have to become this particular beast. Also, women love being victims too much. They want a man to be a real man, but if their day, the women are having a bad day, and the man comes on as a real man, she will accuse him of having toxic masculinity, like a lot of the Me Too movement is about. So women have to be taught to love men, to respect men, and men have to be taught to respect themselves so that when a woman does not respect them, do not think of the women, as just, well, okay, she's just having a bad day. Yes, work out the problems, but if the problems are not being resolved when they should be resolved because the woman just seems not to go along with the program, you get rid of the woman. And if a man has a problem, a psychological problem, he needs help, the female needs help. But, again, a real man is a man with a moral compass. He does what is right because it's the right thing to do. And that's a real woman, by the way. She has to do right because it's the right thing. Not because it's the expedient thing, not because her girlfriends are watching, but because it's the right thing to do. So I'm finished with my diatribe.
at the moment, Destin has joined us. So I want to hear what he has to say. I know he just joined the line, so he hasn't heard everything that's been going on, but wanted, real men. What do you consider a real man? First, welcome, Destin, I'm sorry, to the show. How are
you? Hello, everybody. How are y'all?
Very good. On the line, we have Aaron. Hold on. We have Aaron, we have Joe, and we have Reverend Ron Marshall. So that's what we have on our line so far, thus far.
Hey, Justin. Aaron. Hey, Reverend. What's up, Joe?
Reverend, how are you?
Well, you know, the in my truth and reality, when you see a good man, there are so many things that involves. Because a good man isn't just nice. A good man isn't just providing. A good man isn't just taking care of and masculine and all of those other things. A real, true good man is, a real, true, strong good man. And there's a difference. There's an unconditional part of him. There's a true strength about him. And what I mean by that is, you know, he's able to listen, understand, and continue to move forward. He's supportive. He's understanding. He's loving. He's caring. He doesn't care if it doesn't belong to him. If it's yours, it's his. And I don't mean that in a dominant way. That's in a just a husband, dad, father, brother, family, however you want to put it, that's who he is.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, you get all of these stereotypes. Well, I got a good man because he's got a good job and he provides for me. But in the same breath, what actually does that man do for you? You know, he gives you money and he makes sure that you have food and a roof over your head, but does he support you mentally? Does he support you physically? Does he support you in your dreams? It's not all about him. And a real man understands that you are your own person. And, the bigger picture in life, as you go through life, you know, you start out that, you know, Joe was saying earlier, you know, you start out with this, I'm told that I have to do these things. But if the woman that you're with is not reciprocating what you're giving to her, it's very difficult for you to be a good man and maintain who you are because you're trying so hard to get that reciprocation back. Men need to be supported. Men need to be loved. Men need to be told, that it's okay. Men, they need to be allowed to dream. And once a real man understands and gets what he has in front of him, the couple that's created is ridiculous. And they're pretty much unstoppable. But it takes a man to be able to say, hey, baby, I'm sorry. You know, I apologize for that. And in the same breath, no, you can't do that. And it's not because I'm bigger, badder, tougher, stronger. It's because my job is to protect you and make sure that you're okay, as I expect you to protect me and make sure that I'm okay. And it is a delicate street. But in the same breath, good men, there's a whole bunch of us out here, a whole bunch of us. But stereotypical of what society says a good man is right now is just because he has money, and that's really the only thing he has going for him is good looking. That's not the truth, because a good man will have could have nothing and provide you everything.
Right, right. That is true. That is true. Comments from
I think
the
Dustin,
fellas?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes,
go ahead.
I got a question for everybody here on the line and around the country, too, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody ever read Proverbs 31? Have everybody
about
ever
the
read the virtuous woman was not a stay-home woman. She was a business woman who went out and met the merchants early in the morning. She went and met the merchants. She sold scarlet. She sold flax. In other words, the virtuous woman was the one working in her household, and her husband was the elder in the gate. Now, what I hear everybody talking about this virtuous woman. But the virtuous woman was not a woman that did not know how to take care of her husband. The Bible says she not only took care of her husband, she took care of her maids, she took care of her, all of those that worked for her. She even made for the community. This woman was a woman. She was a wife. She was a businesswoman. And the Bible did not tell us that she went out because she met merchants with money and pulled up her skirt behind her husband's back. But she went out and did business and brought the money that she made. She didn't blow it. She brought it home and made sure that her husband was dressed in the best of linen and all of this kind of thing. And I'm trying to get the gist of everybody talking about what the man's supposed to be doing. Again, we as real men, we got to teach our women different from what history has taught them and shows them.
Right, right.
I like
that. There has to be a change. Go ahead.
Oh, we have another reverend. I'm sorry. Maybe he wants to come in before me.
No, he's had to leave. He's gone. You're good.
Oh, okay. Well, the reverends gave their perspective of what a real man and a woman is according to their religious teachings. Dustin gave his perspective based upon his secular and his empirical learnings. Miss Inez, I would like to vote Dustin off the show because he explained it better than I did, and I don't like that.
You will be all right. You both have been squashed. I'm sorry.
Why? I don't understand.
We are not. I know we're in the voting time. We are not voting anyone off of the ship. I'm sorry. You are not fired.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. But that's okay because, I mean, you guys work together, so, you know, that's fine. So nobody's a goat. Nobody's the greatest of all times. Everybody's, you know, a man on my show. So
it's a good thing.
I appreciate that.
go ahead. You know, it's funny because we as men, we can joke about that. We can joke about, you know, like, yeah, he came with some really smooth shit right then. And we understand it. Like we're going to use that later on in life. But looking at the bigger picture, just as easily as we need to teach our women the things that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you live in a subdivision. And it's a decent subdivision. And, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, your lady gets up and she goes jogging. She's a subdivision. At 5 o'clock in the morning, when it's dark outside, she goes jogging by herself. When she comes home, you can't do that no more. You can't not let me know that that's what you're doing. And not be outside at this point in time. Was I dominant? Was I wrong for telling her that she shouldn't go jogging? That had nothing to do with it. What had to do with it is that my job is to protect her and make sure that she's safe. And while she's out there minding her own business and doing everything else, at the bare minimum, I need to know that where she is at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell my girl all the time.
Okay, hold on
a
second.
Have to
stop right
call
there.
And check in with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stop right there talking about, because I would do that. I would go out late at night, but see, I don't have a man here to say, don't go. I mean, I was going because, like, you know, I'm thinking it's a safe neighborhood, so, you know, me and my alpha self, you know,
absolutely
went out
not.
And did.
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not.
You
are
not
going to go out in the middle of night or in the early morning. Anybody, you know, anything could happen. If you're not going to, at the bare minimum, my job is to, you know, okay, if that's what the time you need to go, then I need to be awake at the bare minimum. I just need to be awake.
Okay.
If you're going to go jogging for 30 minutes, I need to have that understanding with you. You're not just going to just get up and leave and go jogging and not let me know that that's what's happening.
No.
If something happened to you,
right.
How do I know? Where do I know to go look?
Okay.
And it's not being overbearing. It's just being protective.
Right.
And that's our nature. That's what we do next to them.
Or you can actually go jogging with her.
You're right.
There's another thing.
A ride of bike if you don't want to.
A woman is responsible for her own actions. If she knows that the woman, let's say, in the neighborhood is supposedly safe, and she wants to go out, let's say stubbornly, just hypothetically, stubbornly at 3 o'clock
that's
in the morning,
she's
responsible for her own actions, her own safety. I'm not. I'm in bed. I don't want her coming to me later and saying, Joe, you know that you should have stopped maybe because there was somebody stalking me, and I would have said, do you have a mind of your own? Yes. Are you a responsible human being? Yes. Do you know the response? Do you know the consequences of your actions? Yes. Do not come to me when you do what you do, knowing what might happen. That's just the man I am. I'm not on this earth to protect and provide for every and any female, especially if they're going to say to me, I am your equal. I have been given the right to vote. I make as much money as you or almost as much money. And I am a logical, thinking, pensioned human being. Then, cool. You will suffer the consequences of your actions just as I am going to suffer the consequences of my actions. Do not blame me for your actions, irresponsibility, stupidity, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So I'm different than the rest of the gentlemen on this line with regards to that particular situation.
We know that. Because you are the same, person who will not go out and help the woman once if she has a flat tire, and you know, because you
that's
have to
exactly right.
No, I'm not going out there, to, you know, protect, provide, and everything. You out there, you're a woman. You can call AAA just the same as well as I could.
Yeah,
so
you got
once
that
you
right.
Get home, you home. So you know,
I do not need a weak woman. I don't want a woman on Monday who's a princess and on Tuesday is a feminist and on Wednesday is somebody that needs good old Joe. I need a strong woman, not a woman who's always going to look to me to do her heavy lifting. You're absolutely right.
I had a text that said, Inez is ruthless. She ain't human.
Who says that?
I won't name names.
No, that's not
the one person.
You've always been polite and courteous on all the shows I've been on. So I don't know who. I hope that person is just being funny.
No, he's right. I can be because I'm ruthless to him. I can be very ruthless.
Oh,
I can
to
be.
Him. Oh, okay. Now you know who he is.
Yes.
Oh, you have a relationship.
Oh, I know
guy.
Exactly
you
know
who
this is. I know who this is. I wasn't trying to name any names, but I mean, that's just, you know. But if somebody loves me and wants to protect me and say, hey, babe, you know, let me know where you're going to be, what your route is, you know, because some people can't keep up with me with what I, when I walk or go out and do things. So I don't expect them to go out and, you know, me have to carry them on my back as I'm walking because they can't, you know, keep up with me. So, you know, if they have a tracker on me, fine. But it maybe it's crazy, but I just have asked God to go with me wherever I go because, you know, I don't have that person here to say, as Dustin would say,
but
you can't go.
I hear you, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but in the same
way. No, you're fine.
If a man came to you, a man's dating you, and he's in your life, and you come back from your first time, you've been doing this the whole time before you met him.
Mm-hmm.
He comes, you at the door when you come back and say, don't do that shit again. Not being disrespectful behind it, but being more of, don't make me work.
Right.
Going on what Joe said, that is teaching. It's okay to be protected. It's just, I'll give you a good example. The other night, I was hanging out with some Marine friends of mine. I was at a party, wasn't far from the house, and Sarah called me and said, baby, she texted me and said, baby, sit tight for a minute, it's raining. And I didn't realize what she meant, so I had to call her. She was like, are you not watching the weather? And it was a really bad storm. And it was a simple fact, not that she was telling me what to do. That was her reciprocating the same protection. That's what I talk about is being, from being a good man, that's that understanding that the same way that I have my ways that I'm protecting you, I need you to protect me the same way. Because
right
I don't want to
have right
a
storm.
Right.
But that's the reciprocation
back,
that you deserve and you need.
Right.
But that was so in the beginning. That is establishing. Yo, look, I'm gonna look out for you. You look out for me because sometimes I may not be thinking and weary about, you know, what's going on in my surroundings because I've got so much on my mind. So, you know, that is what you're supposed to do as a couple. You know, me, I just be doing stuff all crazy willy-nilly. Girl, you were out at what time doing what? Hey, you know.
Inez, don't have me pull my belt off.
And do what with it? Put it back on in your belt loop to see how fast you can put it back on.
I get no back on. You notice no back.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Now I see where that worthlessness comes from. Okay.
Hey.
Now I see it.
Well, boy, it is.
But no, I mean, because, you know, sometimes, like you say, some people do have people in their lives who will watch over them and protect them and have their backs. And then there are some people that, quit laughing. That, you know, you just do things all willy-nilly. And it says, you know, God takes care of fools and babies. I'm not a fool and I'm not a baby, but he takes care of me, okay? So that's what I can say about that. So, as we were.
Let me introduce a concept that most people are not really thinking about. Is the woman protecting the man? Now, the woman, she will tell you how much of a nurturer she is, and sometimes she will actually prove it. I think we all expect our mothers, let's say the building, your house or your apartment was on fire and you had an infant child inside the house. I would think most people would expect the mother, if the father's not around, to go inside the house and attempt to rescue that child. Now, I think that would be a normal, nurturing, motherly thing to do. Why can't we expect our girlfriends and our wives to do the same thing for us in case, for example,
we are accosted by people who may want to rob us. There might be a fire. Like I said, that woman went all the way down to the school in Uvalde to get her two kids out of that school where that mass shooter was. Why
right,
can't
right.
she be expected to do the same thing for her man, as Dustin is talking about, in terms of reciprocation?
Well,
and there are women who will do that. If I could pull out a 200 and some odd pound man out of a fire, I would do that. I would just yank and pull and pull and yank and. You know, I mean, I would, because I want to save his life. That would be me, and you see these things on TV. Oh, this woman picking up a car and throwing it, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. And I'm not sure that has happened.
That got slapped by their mom when they was little, we know how strong women are.
Yes. And that's why I say I don't know
when
you
want
to that belt.
That's right. We do know how physically strong women are. We do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when she knows a child or someone that they love is in danger, it's like she becomes superhuman, supernatural, super something, because it's like
that is human.
Other things invade her body.
Women. That is human.
I mean, right. But I mean, they always say it with a woman, but I'm sure it happens to men and whomever else. But, you see someone in danger, you will go and do anything you can to save that person. You will go into the ends of the earth to try and save your child or that person who you love. So that's just being a real woman.
What we really are kind of skipping over is for a man to become, what we're talking about, is generally watching that as he grows up. And in this country, by design, 72% of black babies were born to unmarried mothers today. Now, that's by design.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a society where the woman will be raising the sons and the families by herself. Now you get the black little girl and the black son in the house without a father figure. That woman details what she learns to look for and what he learns to be. And I think that plays the biggest part in our community right now. And I'm going to say this again, by design, because we are not weak by nature. It's by design. We live in America.
Mm-hmm.
America's
mm-hmm.
designed a certain way. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But when you deal with the situation, we'll talk about, whether we like it or not, we have to go through the numbers. And the number states that a lot of our black men and black women are being raised single parently by a black female, which she got to do the best she can. She can't play the mother and the father. That's impossible. She can only play
mm-hmm.
her role, which means there's a neglect on the black male role in the household. And we're talking about, we're bringing up, if we could look at society, look at all the crimes and things with these teenagers
mm-hmm.
and now they're in their 30s now, and so forth. And it has become, it's not a village raising child anymore, because that's where I came from. Because most of the juveniles were by themselves and the fathers were at working or at war or whatever. And so the village came together. The village were not men, because the men were
mm-hmm.
out getting food or protecting the circle of the community by war, by combat. So they couldn't be there. And if we really paid attention to America when they went to war, World War One, Two, Three, the white female went to work and took care of the female while they took care of the outcasts, the war, and so forth. But when they came back, they were reciprocated as, okay, now go back to the head of the household. But see, we need to get those opportunities. So, by proxy, we have to understand these numbers are real. And they're growing. 70-something% are raised by themselves, are raising children by themselves. It's hard for a female to raise a female to be respectful to men if there's no male in the house. It's hard for
mm-hmm.
males to respect themselves if there's no example for him to be. So So he finds examples from outside the house, and this all know, we all know. Generally, that is very
what happens there, right?
It is very catastrophic. I mean, we
unless somebody steps up.
Money that we're supposed to
have
not changed. Go ahead, brother. I'm glad. What's that?
That was Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
No, I'm
he was just talking.
You know, tell me what you thought about what I was saying.
Okay, I like to say something there. Again, there's so many single homes because again the woman hadn't been taught how to love the man in the house. She just looked for what the man has been taught about loving her. And if she had been taught, you got to play a part in the relationship and not just look for all of the catering to. Well, a real man teaches his woman. He shares knowledge with her. He not only share knowledge with her, he teaches her what it is to be affectionate in the home. And trust me, when women are taught, they do better. But you have to teach them something that they haven't been practicing to really get their attention. And you have to make it clear with them with clarity. Some people say, well, the woman been doing this by herself. Yes, she has been doing this by herself. But it's a reason why so many women have been single so long. It ain't all of it been just the man was no good and didn't. Some of it was the way he was treated. Because when a man's presence is not respected, then he's ready to leave. Because his presence is not respected. And if a woman don't show a man affection in the home, well, then guess what? He's going to find it somewhere. So
that's
right.
That's the point.
Just so you can contemplate what I'm saying, maybe you can, you know, if she's raised not to respect the man because the man has never been in her life in two or three generations, what is she supposed to do? It's survival mode for her and her children. And I understand what you're saying, but like you said, she really has to, she's taught these things. These things don't just come out the water. She's got how to respect a man, but like her grandmother, her grandfather, and et cetera, and so forth. If that man is being taken out of the home, as we all, you know, as our tribe was for hundreds of years, it's hard for her to contemplate that way in which you're speaking of on a natural ability unless he pays attention to really what's going on in society. And a lot of them, and no disrespect to what you're saying, don't really have time to contemplate that because they got their food on the table. So by the time, so now, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've always heard this growing up because my mother raised us by herself. And my father did nothing. He never came around, nothing. Was not taught how to be a man or a father. So she had to take that on to herself to teach us how to be men. But the only way she could teach us how to be men for what she could have is be able to cook your own food, wash your own clothes, and go to work. She could not teach the prowess and the respective loyalty that a man brings to the table. So, and I didn't have any sisters, but I ran into a bunch of women who knew not how to treat me. And like you said, brother, I walked away. I am not the one to go in the house as I'm going toe-to-toe outside the house, which is, and I'm going to say, not truly all her fault, but I ain't got time to sit around and get beat up for the next 20 years. I'm sorry that, you know, you had no daddy
in
your life for a long time.
Hold on. I hear you. But, wow. I hear you. Oh my God, I hear you.
I'm probably going to get paid in the next 20 years.
Right.
Oh, boy. Right.
You know, brother, the mentality is, you know, the fear is the same. You know, yeah, I don't want to be in a relationship for the next 20 years being hurt.
Right.
All of the you look at society right now, and there's so many women out here that are so afraid to allow themselves to be open, submissive, understanding, supportive to whatever man is in their lives. But it from a good man point of view, when you meet that woman and she explains to you her life and she says, yo, just like you said, my dad wasn't there. I didn't have any man to show me how it was. My mom did the best she could do to show me how to be a man. I am a single dad of 11 years of two girls and two boys and a bonus boy and a bonus girl. And when I say that bonus, these are two kids that me and her mom never did it. They just came to live with me 4 years ago and never left. And these are my children. And I didn't know anything about being a little girl. I didn't know anything about understanding. I don't know how to be in love with a little boy. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that does to me physically, mentally, and socially. But I know what it means to be a little boy. I know what it means to be in love with a girl. I know all of those things. So when you meet a woman and she comes to you and says, you know what, my dad was never there, that is now all of a sudden, if you plan on being a part of that woman's life, it is your responsibility to show her the things that she didn't get shown, period. Now, you have a choice. Either you're going to deal with it and understand that there are trials and tribulations that you're going to go through just because, but is it worth it to you? And that's what it all boils down to, is that woman that you are dating that has not had that type of teaching or that type of an example, that's a better word instead of being taught. So, you know, women don't need to be taught. They need to have examples that they can follow by. You know, I laugh to this day. My daughter baby's father was me that walked up on my front porch and asked me to take my daughter out on a date. It blew my mind because I wanted to punch him in the mouth, but it was me. I'm going to punch myself in the mouth. And that boy is exactly like that. Like, I can't, like, all of his mannerisms, all the things that he does to this day, to a point, is exactly like me. Because I taught my daughter, and I explained to her, these are the things that boys are going to do. These are the things that's going to happen. And as they grew together, they were together for 5 years. They graduated. They spent 2 years after graduation, and now they're getting ready to give me my first grandchild. Everybody's like, well, you know, how do you feel about that? What do you mean? They went through, I taught my daughter well enough to know to get a man that is going to be in her life that is going to at least have the ability, even if he doesn't do it right this second, he has the ability to be a better man than what he was when he first started. And that's our responsibility. When we find these women, and it's the same thing with us men, you know, I feel you, Aaron. You know, I thought for the first 10 years of my life that my dad didn't want to have shit to do with me. But when I got to a point where my mom couldn't control me anymore, she found my father and sent me to him, like literally across the country. And I pulled up and I landed at the Atlanta airport, and my dad picked me up. That right at the Atlanta airport, I learned the power of Jesus. That man let me know that I'm not the strongest dude on this earth, and I appreciate it. But these are all teachings that as I go through, and I look at my sons, and I say, yo, when you get out here, you're going to meet women that are going to tell you, and they're going to need you to do all of these things for them, but you need to have that reciprocated back to you. If you're not getting that is not the woman for you. And it's the same thing with my daughters. So, you know, Aaron, I feel you. I'm not going to spend 20 years trying to train a person, but if that person is worth 20 years of my life to make sure that she's going to be there for the rest of my life, then absolutely. Take that
time. And the counter on that real quick, to get you some statistics out here, 24% of black males marry outside of their race, with 12% marry inside of their race. So we do have black men looking to have someone respect him. And if he goes, you know, we get this big thing, oh, you're man outside your race. But what people fail to realize is a lot of those human beings, we want to be respected. And as black males, we really look for that perspective because we don't get it. So a lot of, in the percentages, in the statistics show that 25% of black males will marry out, 24%, I'm sorry, marry outside of the race, whereas 12% marry within the race. And it's not like black men, it's not myself, but I'm just speaking in general, are outside. They go outside because they feel some type of, I don't have to go toe-to-toe with this Spanish or such and so forth woman, because why? She's raised differently to respect men than a lot of black women are. And that's because she has that doctrine for generations of respecting the male in the home, because the male has always been in the home. So it's taking nothing away from black women, because they can only go by what they get. You know, but at the same time, on the flip side, black males be scrutinized and castrated when they go outside their race, but nobody's looking at why they may go outside their race. Because they're looking for some humanity as a human and how they want to be treated. You know, and like
okay.
I say, you know, we have to understand that as black men, we were very emotional. But it's hard to be emotional when you're going toe-to-toe. It's hard to be emotional if I say, hey, lady, get to the side. And before she moves to the side, she say, why? Now the truckman already ran her over. You know what I'm saying? And then we take what I was supposed to. Well, why did this woman get ran over? Because she didn't move what I asked her to. Well, why didn't she move? She didn't trust what I was saying.
Well, that goes back. I it's not trust what you're saying. It's not trust what you're saying. It's trust what you're showing. That there's a difference. You know, I can tell 100 women right now, yo, get out the way. And that's why. You're absolutely right. But if I'm with a woman and I've shown what my intent is, then there's no questioning. You won't get that questioning back. You won't get that fight back.
Well,
if you show,
you won't, and you might.
Because
a lot of that depends on her upbringing. Even though you indoctrinate.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, it doesn't. It has to, everything, because if she has no example, and she looks at you as an example to see what the hell you going to do. If you show since day one, this is who I am, if I tell you to look out, I tell you step to the left. Just step left. It's not a question after that. It's not anything else, because I've proven my point to you since day one.
Prove. Right.
I'm not giving you an opportunity. I'm not giving you,
right.
And this is where the good man and the good potential. This is where we differ.
Mm.
Because a good man from day one is going to show you 100% that who he is and what his intent is. Regardless of your question, you already know that if he says something to you, it's not because he's trying to do it. You might want to question it, and you may question it after the fact. But this is where we mess up. Is we get questioned after the fact, and we're mad because you question us after the fact.
So you're saying that she's suspect.
And this is where a man comes in.
She's going to question everything you say. If what you're saying is a question, because some of the things you do or say to her beforehand may not be up and up. So now she's going to question what you say.
The second that you stop being the man that you are, for whatever reason that may be, whatever it may
be,
it only takes one ounce of deception, or not even deception, misunderstanding that you are not willing to talk about. And this is communication.
Right.
If you don't communicate exactly what you mean, you know, just like I said, my lady walk in the door at 5 o'clock in the morning after she done made her run from 4:30 to 5 o'clock, and I'm standing at the door and I have that heated look on my face. What's wrong? Don't you never do that again. What you mean? Don't you never leave this house again without letting me know that you are where you going, what you doing. Well, what you mean by that? No, it's not just the fact that you can leave this house and I need to know every place you are. But when you leave this house and it's dark and there's all this shit going on the earth, I need to know where you are while it's dark.
Right.
And
right.
you explain
right.
that to you, and you present yourself. You can you stand there strong. Baby, I love you. I'm not here to dominate you. That's not what my job is. My job is to make sure that you understand that if anything goes wrong in life, I'm coming for you.
So I feel what you're saying. Mm. You're saying that we need to go into the relationship with the understanding that we have to show sovereignty in the beginning to let her know I have your best interest at heart from day one.
Period.
I have your best interest. So if I have your best interest, then there really shouldn't be too much toe-to-toe. You have a right to stand at that door saying, don't do that again.
Right.
I guess.
You're not chastising her. You're just letting her know.
Right.
I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I got your back. So whatever you do, at least let me know that you are leaving so that I have, you know, I'm either have one eye open or both eye opens or something so that either that or I'm
waiting to hear
you.
If I know you're running for 30 minutes, I need to know that 30 minutes from now, I need to hear that front door open it up. And if I don't, I'm standing on the front porch.
That's a different
story.
This
is what it is. But now, in the same breath, the funny part about that is, as a good man, you have to be willing to accept that same exact position. Hey, I'm a builder. And sometimes we build and we get in a run, we're going to build until we can't see.
Right,
if I don't pick up the phone, if I don't pick up the phone and say, not because I have to, not because I need to check in or she need to know at my every move, but just out of the simple respect, I don't want her to worry, pick up the phone.
Right.
Hey, babe, we on a run right now. We're almost done with the inside of this house. I'm going to be here another 30, 45 minutes, even if it's another hour and a half. You know where I'm in. You know where I am, and you know what my intent is by saying I'm going to be home in 45 minutes. And it's
I'll
all about
you know when I leave.
I'll let you know as soon as I get the hell out of here.
That's your talk now. That should be left up to the man and the woman to talk about between themselves, because if you don't want a woman to go running at 3 o'clock in the morning when she wants to, and she doesn't necessarily want to let you know that she's running because she doesn't want to worry you, then you two are going to have to work it out. Now, if my woman says to me, I'm going to run at 3 o'clock in the morning and I want you to be awake, I'm going to say, you better keep your ass inside the house.
Cuss word, no.
I'm going back to sleep.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
I love you, Joe. I do. But that is not how it works.
But
if my lady wants to go jog at 3 o'clock in the morning.
In Joe's world, that's his plan.
I understand.
Yeah,
but in
that's how it works
for the rest of us.
That's how it works
for the rest of us.
Dustin, that's okay for you and for the rest of you. Anybody who has that kind of girlfriend, you make out the relationship the way that you want. If you want it to be traditional, not a problem. But with me, if the girl says, I like 3 o'clock in the morning, the neighborhood is safe, I'm going to say, I'm with you. You go ahead and do it. But if I have the kind of woman where you want, because if she says, baby, I want you to stay awake because I want you to make sure that nothing happens to me in this neighborhood at 3 o'clock, I'm saying you better run at 12 noon when there's a bunch of people around, or I'm going back to sleep because I'm not doing that.
That's crazy.
You're responsible for your own actions.
I have a question. Okay. Now, we all know in this civil society, we live in America, our higher entourage, the ones we follow, are the educators. Okay. Now, I'm not in a fraternity, but I went to school. And I'm going to ask you brothers to be in a fraternity. How many fraternities are really brought in to respect women? And this is the highest part of our society. Our fraternities are the highest realm because they're going to carry society on, whether it's science or engineering or whatever. What fraternity and excuse me if I'm wrong, are brought up in the realms of their fraternity to respect the female? Or
all of them.
To exploit the female?
All of them.
Yeah, like
every last one of them. All of the Greek fraternities that are out there are all the principles. If you actually sit down and read their bylaws and their governing.
How about their party?
That is, say again?
How about the parties they have? I mean, I know what the bylaws are. I'm asking when they're out there in the midst. It was always.
I'm gonna tell you now. It's not from somebody who has pledged, because my pledging, it was not correct. But I support the Cube. I support the Cube.
That's all I'm saying.
Hand over foot, because all of my godfathers, the ones I picked up and the ones I've just adopted, all of them are Cubes. And when I have been to almost every Q event in the past 10 years that has been happening in Atlanta. And the one thing for certain, two things for sure that I've watched is, yes, we are strong men, and we are men supporting men. In the same breath, if you watch, all of my friends that are Qs are dedicated good men to their wives.
Correct.
Yes. Do we have the stragglers that are hoes out there? Absolutely. That goes for capitalists.
Some Qs are definitely known.
You can go all the way through the whole thing. There are hoes in every group. But in the same breath, for the married Qs that I know, for the married capitalists that I know, they are supportive, understanding, and expecting. And that's the key point of that, is men, we have to expect the same thing that we give out, we have to expect it back. If we're not getting it back, it goes back to what I think Reverend said. If we can't find it, if we're not getting it at home, trust me, we're going to find it. It may be the clerk at the gas station that says, "Hey, boo, it's good to see you. Damn, can I get that at home? Can I get that at home?" And it really falls back on if a good man is in your life, and knowing what a good man is, I ask the question all the time to ladies, what kind of eggs do you like? There are 256 versions of eggs. Most people don't know that. Most people know the popular 10. And when it comes down to it, if you don't know what kind of eggs you like, ladies, it's hard for you to figure out what you want in a man. I'm going to tell you now, I like my egg over medium, light salt and pepper, and a piece of white toast with heavy butter on it. That's what I like. How many people can say they know exactly what they like? Well, I like scrambled cheese eggs. Mm. Are you sure? So there's 256 other versions of eggs out there, and you don't know. You're not willing to understand who you are and what you need and what you expect in your life and what you demand out of your life. Because I demand certain things. But I also expect my lady to demand certain things from me. Now, it's the compromise after you both express what it is, where you meet in the middle. And once you find that, you want it. And it's scary.
Yeah. I think the problem is, you know, the attraction is when we find a woman that is not treating us right or whatever, we have to understand we're attracted to that woman through our actions. And I tell my son when they go through little tests, I said, let me tell you something. She's only going to respect you as much as you respect yourself. At the end of the day, if you don't take no crap from yourself and you put certain principles on your own self, you won't take anything other than what you expect from yourself from someone else. And that's just the laws of attraction. You have to expect things out of yourself first, as you say, as an example. And if that example, you're not going to go outside that grid. You're going to stay right there. And so even though your heart may, like, I love this woman, she's great in business, cooks good dinners, et cetera, so forth. But if the respect level, and let's be honest, guys, if we are not respected vocally, if she calls us,
what is respect?
You B-I-N-I-G-G-A. If your woman says that to you, it's because you had implemented that to yourself. And she's just reciprocating back at
you. Hey, Aaron, let me ask you a question. What is respect?
Yes, sir.
In your book. What is respect,
respect
in your book?
My respect is, if we got problems, we air them out in our home. You don't air them out at the gas station or at a party or at a cookout. If you're mad at me and I do something outside of line, don't disrespect me in front of other people. Wait till we get home and break me, and vice versa. Don't get me wrong. But I tell my son, and I have six sons, and I tell them, if you show respect for yourself, if you're not going to disrespect yourself in certain areas, take care of yourself, do what you got to do. But you will not, you do not disrespect, you do not show disrespect for yourself, and you won't accept it. So what happens is, when, like I tell my son, oh, man, she called me this, she called me that. I said, well, you know, because you'll simplify that. You're still the male in the household. So there's certain different criteria that you got to carry. And if you want to be out messing with your homies and act like you, even though you're 35, you act like you're 15 when you're out there, and you don't want to let them know what you said, you don't call them and say, hey, I'm going to be late when I come in, I'm just going to come in when I want to, then you're not showing the respect for yourself. And so when it comes down to you getting respected as the children, if you don't deal with your children inside the house, they're going to disrespect you in the grocery store. Now you want to beat the hell out of them because you're embarrassed now. But don't beat that child now because you didn't apprehend a child inside the house. And it's the same way as far as yourself, not as far as women. And I'm not saying if you get aggressive with women in that way, but if you show respect for yourself, you will attract respect. If you don't, and you know what they say, how are you as a person? You want to question yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand out. And how does those five people in your life treat you? That's how you treat yourself. So basically, it's not really on them. It's on you. Changes must be made from what's inside of yourself to get the respect outside of yourself. And that goes to relationships, with your children. You know, it goes at your job, at your associates. How do you respect yourself? I walk into a cigar bar, I get respect because I respect myself. I don't get caught up in a bit. I don't act for foolish. I don't get malicious. I'm a respecting person to myself, which means I empathize that to other people. And they will treat me such as I treat myself. And if I am disrespected continuously outside myself, then I got to look within myself and say, you're the problem. You're not respecting yourself. You know, that's what I teach. That's my line of what you say, what respect is. How I respect myself, how I treat myself. Do I take care of myself? You know, do I make sure my health is okay? Do I take care of myself verbally, religiously, you know, spiritually, or whatever you want to say it? If I don't, and I'm just really out there is going to come inside. Then out there is going to be out there. It's going to be in there. And people have to understand that, especially black men. We are at a crisis right now.
Can I say something?
I'm glad we're having this conversation with Mr. Nash.
Hang on.
And yet, brother, let's be real. It's just a female to bring this in together to have this contemplated discussion that will build generations.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Joe, are you still out there? Yeah, you can. Hold on a second. Joe, are you still out there? Okay, that was his other line. Okay, go ahead, Reverend.
You know, you got to teach a woman that you want her to love you 24 hours a day. You got to teach a woman you want her to give you joy 24 hours a day. You got to teach a woman you want her to give you peace 24 hours a day. You got to teach a woman you want her to be tolerant, kind, and affectionate with you 24 hours a day. If you teach her and start her to practicing loving you 24 hours a day, then she will start maturing in loving you. If you share with her about being in joy and constantly peace 24 hours a day and she starts practicing that, well, then you're going to have a beautiful life. Now, a lot of the sororities and a lot of the organizations and so on and such, a lot of them are practicing in an academic way from the nature of falling men. Well, that ain't going to help nobody to really expand, if I could say that, because you have to love from within. See, the connection of oneness falls from the non-physical person. The non-physical person in me, the non-physical person in her. We have to touch there first with God. And when we touch there first, then that's what brings the band of oneness together. But before then, as humanistic people, we're two parts. We became one. Remember, the Bible says they too became one flesh.
One.
They didn't start off being one flesh. They became one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have to teach the person, my mate, my woman, my wife, I have to teach them
this is the way I want to be loved. Not the way that you heard tradition, records, and history. No, not that. I don't want that because I've watched that pattern. I've watched that for a number of years in different relationships and even in my own before my wife passed. But at the same time, I learned something. I did not speak up to my feelings, my emotion. I didn't speak up to that, how I wanted to be treated. I spent most of the time trying to make them feel like history had told me they supposed to be treated. Mm-hmm. But then when I read the Bible and I found out how the woman really acted in the Bible, the woman took care of the whole house. And did it well. When I say she did it well, if you you take the time and you read the 31st chapter of Proverbs, you're going to see how the woman did business. She got up early in the morning and left home. She got up and went and made money, though. She didn't just go jogging. She went and made money to bring back to the household. You understand what I'm saying? But nowadays, we got it all to the point where, this man's supposed to do all of this. This man's supposed to do all of this. And the man goes through life trying to do everything, every single thing. And after a while, you know, let me say this, brother, and to everybody that's listening. Some women play the I'm going to see what you can do game. And they'll have you doing until you find yourself needing somebody to do something for you. You can't fall into the trap of tradition, because if you do, you're going to be a slave because she don't see you as a free agent. She sees you as what history has said about you. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we get the full participation from a woman to give us love like we want it? We have to take them above the Adamic nature of mankind, and we have to take them to a spiritual ramification where we are speaking into their spirit and help them purge their minds.
And the speaking is being an example.
Yeah, but Pastor, in the same breath, you have to look at society right now. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely 100%. Bible's never wrong, ever. That's basically the instructions of life. In the same breath, we as men, as real men, as good men, as strong men, we have to look at the bigger picture of what we have to deal with right now. You know, there's definitely an age difference between all of us. In the same breath, if you look at the women today, we have such a responsibility as good men to show what that example is and show, you know, yes, I need you to love me like this for the amount of time. You know, you made a statement, I need you to love me like this 24/7. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that guy. I'm not.
That's a lot of loving.
That's a lot.
Well,
that's a whole lot of loving.
Well, I tell you what, you may not get it all, brother, but if she starts practicing it, you're going to see the difference at first to what you didn't get.
No. Once again, please, I'm going to say this, you are absolutely correct. In the same breath, as men, as good men, as strong men, what we have to show isn't just a let me teach you this, because a lot of times when we get ready to say we're going to teach you this, they're not in a position or even a place in life to accept that teaching. So now we have to go move back a little bit farther and say, okay, what do we have to do first for you to even understand that is? And that's where that agape, that unconditional love really truly comes from. And once you start loving a woman unconditionally, where she's going to buck up against you and tell you why. She's going to come at you and say this and that and all those things. you have to step back as a good man and say, you know what? God put me here for this reason. He said, I am the head of this household, and I'm ultimately responsible for my household. I don't. When I stand in front of God, he's not going to just judge me on who I am as a person. He's going to judge me on my actions also.
Correct.
On how I made my family what my family is. So when Aaron, when we meet those women, when you say, hey, step to the left, and they're not ready to step to the left. And you meet those women where everything that you say to them is an argument. It's not because they don't want to love you. It's not because they don't want to be submissive to you. It's not that they have no absolute example. So you have to start back at example and work your way up to teacher. Once you work your way up to teacher, yes, Pastor, you are absolutely correct. We have to teach them. But we have to get to the point of a teacher. And that's as a good man, we understand our responsibilities. Our responsibility, period, on this earth is to be men and teach what God tells us to teach. But sometimes we have to be a builder. Because if I remember right, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. And every foundation every building you've ever built started out with a foundation. So when you meet a woman that is everything against you, knowing that you are a good man, not because you believe it, because you know you're, not because you've been told it, because you believe it and you understand what your job is a good man. So now you stand here and you go, okay, I met this woman. This woman has the potential to be what I need her to be, but she is not in a place to accept the unconditional love that I have to give her. So what do? Do I leave? No, because this woman has that potential, and I believe in my heart, and God has not just put her in front of me to just have her in front of me. No, he did it on purpose. And because he wants to see the man that you are, the man that he trained you to be. So he says, okay, here. It's not easy. It's not simple. It's not a walk in a cake and we got a white picket fence, 2.5 kids, and a dog. That's not how it works. It ain't that easy. So as good men, we understand that there's a struggle that we have to go through. And our struggle is not to be overbearing, not to be strong and in running the world. No. Our job is to find our mate, our helpmate, to get us to where we need to
That's
be,
right.
to be the person that God intended us to be. And is it an easy path? No, it took 40 years for a homeboy of mine named Moses. You know what I'm saying? It's how it works.
But you know what I find myself doing? I find myself going in my past. Now that I'm 60, I find myself going in my past and dealing with women in my past because they recognize a change in me. A new woman sees me and says, you know, you're only 65%. But an ex-woman sees me and says, you're 110% compared to what I used to know. And that's acceptance.
Absolutely.
I find myself gravitating to.
Absolutely.
And so you like going backwards? Hold on.
That's not going backwards.
No. Huh? I'm asking.
I find myself gravitating to those who know my past, see my change, and show the gratitude for my change than someone meeting me, not understanding what I've been through, who I used to be, to who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And when they recognize who I am now, it's someone who had to know me in my past and say, wow, you really made a change. And then that way I'm able to get them to listen to me and do the things that I may ask. Because they seriously say, wow, you really changed compared to a new woman I've met, and we're both 60 years old, and she's carrying her past into the relationship, and I carry my past. Well, if you don't know my past, you don't know the trials I've been through and how I've changed as an individual who know me as a younger individual and say, wow, you really are Superman now. You are really, oh, my God, you're courteous, you're caring. You're this, you're that.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for that as men. as African American men.
But you've grown
for
up.
That. What
mm-hmm.
I've grown up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it goes back to God's plan. It goes back to God's
mm-hmm.
plan. Pastor, tell me if I'm wrong. God has a plan that long before we even came on this earth, he had that plan for us, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
yes.
So if that particular woman, and this is a good example, and I'm going to say this about Sarah, and you'll hear me respond to, you know, and say this about Sarah. I was 10 years old when I met Sarah. She is 5.5 years older than me. You could not tell me nothing growing up that the woman of my affection was that woman. That was just is what it is. Our paths crossed way back then. As I grew and I understood life and I kept going through all these trials and tribulations, just like you said, Sarah has seen everything that I have been through. All
mm-hmm.
all three of my divorces. All
mm-hmm.
of my headaches, all of my trials,
mm-hmm.
all of my everything that there is out there. And then as I got to where I am right this exact second,
mm-hmm.
Sarah was in a position, and I was in a position to say, hey, I see you. So it's not
mm-hmm.
going backwards.
Okay.
Going backwards is
mm-hmm.
a chick that drug you through the dirt, and you went back to her because
okay.
for whatever dumbass or dumb stupid reason you went through. That's going backwards. But allowing a woman
okay.
to see you become a man is incredible.
It's beautiful.
Incredible.
It's beautiful.
Gravitating back to women that knew you back when you was like me. I say every time, I was a hoe. I was a hoe. I was. I was. And that's just the truth in life. I'm not that anymore.
Okay.
I used to only care about myself. I was arrogant and didn't give a damn about how you felt. Am I the same man that I am now? No, I'm a good man now. I understand. I have to listen. I have to understand where you're coming from. I have to reason. I have to compromise. I have to do all of these things, not because I have to, because I want to, because I understand the woman that you are. Because back when I knew you back then, you're no longer that chick. You are a woman.
A woman.
We both.
Yeah.
Back then, you weren't the person I needed you to be. But now you are.
Right.
So why not?
You've grown into it. And
it's amazing how good men, we go out here and we walk through, and I use myself as an example. I walk through Home Depot, and I have women come on to me all the time. Oh, you're a builder? Oh, you're not married? Oh, my God. Excuse me. You couldn't fathom who I am. You haven't asked the right questions. But I got somebody that comes back to my past and says, hey, I remember you, and I'm proud of the person man that you are right now. I want to be friends with you. I want to be lovers with you. I want to make love to your soul and not your body. That's what you look for. And if a man or a woman approaches you and says, hey, I'm willing to wait for you. It's not because we have to. Aaron, Pastor, Joe, we're not bad-looking gentlemen. We're not. We know that if the physical side of it is what all we needed, we are okay. In the same breath, that's all not what we want. We've gotten to that point in our lives where, you know what, I need somebody to love me back. And I say it all
for
the time.
Who I am.
Love me back. Because if I love you, it's unconditional. And I don't require anything less than what I give you. And if you're not able to do that, you better have to.
Wow. I have a text. Not to cut you off. I have a text for Reverend. It says, where does integrity and being Christian come in? And she does not show it, but you work multiple jobs to support her with high expectations. I got my butt kicked from this and shot myself down and my self-confidence, and I am a strong man that works hard. And so, you know, this is a person who knows he's a, you know, real man, but yet when he was married, the woman just treated him like booboo on a stick. And she was a Christian.
He allowed that to happen. Absolutely.
Is that what you said? Okay. And why do you say that? I'll have your answer, Dustin. I want to go to the Reverend. Why do you say that?
Well,
you want me to
he didn't.
I want Dustin to answer first, and then I want Reverend to answer second. Go ahead, Dustin.
He allowed that to happen. If you're in a relationship, married, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter, and you are presenting everything that you can. As like you said, I'm a hardworking good man. I come home, I do all the things I'm supposed to do. If you are presenting that and you are still being treated as you are not, if you do not stand your ground and say, hey, wait a minute, this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is what I do for this relationship. If this is not good enough for you, then please move on.
Okay.
If you don't open yourself to that, if you don't stand your ground on that, then you need to look at yourself.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pastor.
I just believe you're right. You're right, Justin. You have to tell people. Okay, you know, I asked a question one day. I said, it was a young lady. She was talking to me, and I said, well, would you marry you? She looked at me.
That needs to be a topic.
She looked at me and she said, what did you say? I said, would you marry you? And she had to think about it for a while, you know what I mean? And I asked her, I said, well, what's taking you so long? You know? Well, if people already are imprisoned by their conscience to an old sensation, whether it was bad or whether it was good, of their past, they can't relate to being treated right because they're imprisoned, remember, to a bad sensation or a bad experience. And if they're not taught how to come out of such imprisonation, well, then it will be difficult to get through to them and even to live with them.
Okay.
Because they're constantly blaming themselves so much, that's all they practice, is blaming who they are, blaming themselves about the failures of the past. Well, if they constantly do that, they can't move forward. They become stagnated. Can't go forward, can't go back. In a dithros, repeating themselves over and over again. Well, when a woman is imprisoned to her own conscience, well, then she's withdrawn within. So she can't really open up, never, because she's not whole within herself. She's broken, and she's living in the sensation of being broken. That experience, the pain that it brought, she's still holding on to that pain, when really the pain is gone. She's creating a story. For now, in the future, that was in the past. Can't do that. So a real man, when he notices, see, you can't trick an honest person, because the practice that they do every day is different from dishonest and criminal behavior. The practice of a real good man is the right thing to do. He don't venture off from doing the right thing. That's what makes him honest. And his practice is doing the right thing. Well, if a real good man get a hold to a woman who has been imprisoned by bad experiences, he begins to work on her mental train of thinking. He goes right to the problem. He's a troubleshooter. He goes right to the problem, and he starts sharing with her experiences, stories perhaps, of experiences of his own life that he corrected. And in so doing, on the consistency, sometimes like Justin said, sometimes like Eric said, sometimes like Joe said, it take a moment for a person to come clearly seeing after being blind so long.
Okay.
Have to get used to the light. Because remember, if they've been imprisoned to their mind and to their consciousness,
mm-hmm.
they can't see nothing but negativity and limitations. And the devil play with that because he gives them an illusion. And they run after the illusion, fleeting sensations. Whatever they see that turns them on for the moment, they reach for it. Well, that's no stability there mentally. There's no availability can be because imprisoned to the past. So we as real men, we have to open their minds up. We have to open them up, and then we have to put knowledge into their minds for them to expand. Even though they may be the educated woman in the world, they may know how to reveal mysteries and all this kind of thing, but if they still imprisoned to their conscious, even though with the proper education, they still can't function in the ramification of one because they're still broken.
Okay.
So real men who have come through mm-hmm. the change, after come through the change, started a practice of maturity and practice it even mm-hmm. when they feel they have made it to some point, they don't stop there. They keep on practicing because the more you practice, the more perfect you become. That's in everything, in loving and sharing and caring and being affectionate. The more you practice it, the better you'll become at it. Then that's when people can change their lives and they can modulate a different horizon of spiritual intellect because of your discipline, because of your actions. Your actions can change people's lives.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
So yes, we have to, can. Again, it goes back to, we have real men has to teach, not only their woman, their children, they everybody. Real men, a lot of people say, I can't handle my son. I can't handle my daughter. If your son or your daughter 10 years old and you're 50, why you can't handle them? Mentally, not just physically, but if they 10 years old, you 50 years old, you've lived 50 years, they've lived 10, why you can't get them on track mentally?
Mm.
A real man can.
Mm-hmm.
A real man can. A real man can get a woman on track. A real man can get a child on track. But it has to be in him. When he is respected, when his presence is respected, then the good will come out of it. But if his presence is disrespected, then he's withdrawn.
Uh-huh.
He closed off. He goes into silence treatment. You know what I mean? Okay, you figure this out because I can't tell you nothing. Well, you don't want that in a relationship. You don't want nobody to be withdrawn. You want everybody to be open and have liberation in mind. When they look at you, they see love. They see what they need. They see what they have to have. And when it becomes to the point where they look at you and say, I got to have that woman. Because it is the way she has gravitated to a way of thinking with clarity toward you. She ain't fog-man no more about you. You being a slave or you being subject to some other man or some other race. And she ain't looking at that no more like that. She's looking at you as an individual that she have found a pathway of life through. So we have to get back to the idea. I just can't. You know, they used to say a long time ago, I know some of you all remember this, how they used to say a dude had to blow a woman's mind before he could really get her, you know? You know what I mean? He had to take her from in her mind to another place from where she was. Well, guess what? And when we come into the knowledge of God and his attributes and his ways, then we do blow people's mind from the old Adamic nature to the nature of Christ, which is then they can be one together. They too can be one, but they have to have the pathway of understanding of God, creator, preacher, and what we mean to each other.
Okay. Now we're going to move to Macho men versus metro men. Y'all know what metro men are? Raise your hands if you know what a metro man is. Y'all know what those are? Metrosexual?
I don't think that's nobody on the phone call, man.
No, but I mean, you know, you don't want to talk about them. Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm saying is, I don't think nobody, from what I've heard, is anyone. We may have an ideology of what it is. Like, my sons are not so much. And they're in their 30s. So if somebody hears a metro man, I like to hear what they say.
No, I mean, because we don't have any metro men, but I know how real men would probably, quote-unquote, handle. I don't know because I'm not a man, but I can kind of figure out how a macho man or real man would handle a metro man, because it seems like the metro man, well, okay. So there is no question that the last few generations have done much to tear down conventional concepts of masculinity and femininity. The drive for equality, for a blurring of the distinctions between men and women, have been fierce and largely successful. Witness the emergence of metrosexuals, men who are apparently so comfortable with their masculinity that they are not ashamed to shop and pimp like women, as they increasingly enjoy the media spotlight. At the same time, women are outnumbering men on college campuses 4-3 and battling to prove their capabilities in all fields, even the military. Within families and in society, traditional roles of men and women have been broadly trounced. So that, I just wanted to kind of touch on that because I know we have real men on the line, trust me. I have no doubt about that. And I believe, Ms. Laquita, is that you who just joined us? Laquita? I think that's who just joined us. Okay. So, our real men, what do you think of these metrosexuals? I know you all aren't.
Well, one thing I like to say is something that was told a long time ago. We used to have hardworking men and pretty women. Now we have pretty men and hardworking women. And I'll leave it at that.
I believe it. Go ahead. Dustin? Oh, I think you left. No? Yeah.
You know, the
you there?
It's so funny because I am a, I love history. I love history. And if we just go on the physical dress of men today and men, I think it's 111 years now, 112 years ago, the dress is so similar. It really is. You know, history repeats itself. That's why we have Generation X, Generation Q, we had all these different generations where as their parents looked at them as, why would you wear that? Like, you look at the 70s, why would you wear bell bottoms? You look at the 80s, why would you wear high-waisted pants? You look at the 90s, we wore Daisy Dukes and spandex. You know, why would you do that? But the bigger picture in life is history is just repeating itself. Dress, physical dress. Back in the day, men wore wigs and we painted our faces to have establishment in our world. So as it comes back around, because the only difference between then and now is that homosexuality is more present. It's not that it's more. It's not that it was not as big as it was back then. Homosexuality's been around before the Bible. It's put in the Bible. It's just the truth.
Correct. Sodom and Gomorrah.
So as
Correct.
We come back around
Correct.
And we look at metrosexual men, we can look at it on so many different planes. Men, as a man, you can't come to me and tell me that I am a successful man because I wear very tight clothes and I have makeup on my face and I wear my hair in wherever the hell I need to wear it in, that makes me a bigger man. No. But it also doesn't say that because I have muscles and I can bench press 400 pounds, I'm a stronger man than you. That's not how it works.
Right.
A man is a man. It's when you cross over from being a man to wanting to be a woman. That's where the issue is. Metro, I know some very metrosexual men that are men.
Okay.
They just groom the shit out, just groom the heck out of themselves. But I also know
right.
some metrosexual men that are groom themselves and present themselves as feminine. And I said that exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
She, men, him. Feminine. You know,
feminine,
I'm a man,
okay.
I'm a woman, but I'm a man. Sorry, sir, you lost me. You can't, God, regardless of how you were put on this earth, if you are presenting yourself as a man, I don't care what you dress like, as long as you continue to be a man. Because if you look at, let's just take perfumes. We, as us, perfume is for who? What is
perfumes
for?
Are supposed to be for women, supposed to be.
And colognes are for men. Do you know
Correct.
That the United States is the only place that understands that? The United States is the only place that understands it. You can go anywhere else in the world, they do not have a men and women section. They have they have perfume shops. You go in, if it smells good and it smells good on you, you put it on. It's not a men or women. You put it on. And I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't been all over the world 3 times, compliments the United States Navy, I would still believe that there are women perfumes and there are men perfumes. I have put on perfumes that smell so good on me. My hormones that I present in this world mix so well with these perfumes that is ridiculous.
And they do have a lot of unisex. Yeah, and they do have a lot of unisex smell goods is what I'm going to call them because, you know, like you say, perfume, colognes, you know, eau de toilette, whatever you want to call it, you know, so on and so forth. But they do have smell goods that are unisex.
Right. But here in the United States is the only place that counts. Nowhere else in the world does that count. Nowhere. Nowhere.
That is very true. Very true. I was in the military. Very true.
So if a man comes up to me and he has a pair of leggings on with a sash, I forget what it's called, but it kind of looks like an over, you know how like a woman for us.
A crossbody bag
with a oversized shirt on that comes down across his leggings. Well, let's look back. Who are we talking about? We're talking about George Washington. Because if you look at what he had leggings on, he had shorts, he had high water or what's the name of them? The crop shorts.
What is pantalones?
And he had an overshirt, an overcoat that covered it all. But that was the founding father of our nation.
And they had the sash, too. They had the cross body bag.
They
used to carry that.
So who are we to say that right now? Why? Because homosexuality is so apparent. I mean, is it? Is it so apparent that it wasn't back then? Because I know I read in my Bible that there were several incidences of homosexuality where there, Pastor, help me out here. The scripture that says the man of the house was offering his daughter, and the men were still trying to go and be with the boys and everything else. It's a whole passage of that. And I'm not versed in it very well, but I remember reading it and going, wow, that was some serious, like, whoa. Homosexuality's been around for a very long time. Is it right in God's eyes? From my point of view and the way that I was brought up and raised, absolutely not. But this is also mm-hmm. coming from a father of a bisexual son.
Well, do I
disagree with my son's lifestyle? Absolutely. Do I love my son any less than any of my other sons? Absolutely not. He's my son.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
just,
not
right.
when it comes down to it. So when you come and say that metrosexuality, and I'm not saying that this is what you did, Inez, please don't take it that way. But when you come to me and say homosexuality, or not, excuse me, metrosexual and macho men are different, absolutely not. Men are men. I don't care what you wear. If you're a man, you're a man.
Uh-huh.
I'm not particularly going to wear a dress and leggings. That's just not me. But in the same breath, does that make that man any less than a man to me? No. But if you are presenting yourself and you are prepping and you're doing everything else and then you're walking out here not to attract a woman, you are out here to attract a man, you are a homosexual. And that is not my cup of tea.
My question is, and I'm going to be honest with you, I watch my sons, you know, three of them are bodybuilders, as I do myself, and I watch the clothes they wear. I mean, tights, and I'm like, yo, bro, what are you doing? Oh, Dad, this is what we wear. And I had to really come to grips with, like you said about the bell bottoms and stuff like that, each generation is going to be very defiant of the move on with the other generation is wearing and what they're doing for themselves. We are in a time where a lot of our men, and without them being homosexual, but they still dress very feminine. And I think that's what the Metro says.
Who made it feminine?
It's like, right, but what I'm saying is, I walk into a store, and a lady says to me, I said, where's the men's area? She goes, well, this is the Metro. We have Metro sex. And I didn't know what she was talking about 10 years ago. I said, well, no, I want to buy men's clothes. She said, yeah, well, this is metrosexual. I said, what do you mean metrosexual? To me, in my mind, being 60 years old is, you're saying homosexual. That's what you're saying to me. And I was like, oh, I don't want them clothes. You know what I mean? But in time, I learned that she wasn't saying that. She was saying, this is what we're wearing today, and we really don't care what people mm-hmm. think. And along with that independence, along with all that, it is, and there's a saying, the difference between macho, and macho was something that was appointed to us. You know, we didn't have mm-hmm. a makeup.
Right.
We were just told, this is what you're going to do. This, you get your Levi's, you get your whatever, and this is what you wore.
Right.
And we identified a man by what he wore. Now, mm-hmm. they don't do that
mm-hmm.
anymore. They just say, this is what I want to wear. I had a son who wouldn't go to school unless I could find him blue contact to wear. And, of course, I blows up. And he's like, this is just what we do. I said, but you don't have blue eyes. What? You're dark-skinned. No, this is what we do.
Right, right.
Well, I mean,
you're spending more time in the bathroom than your sister getting ready. This is something I wasn't used to. But the simple fact of the matter is, as our generation, if we're going to be the best generation, I ain't saying we got to agree mm-hmm. or accommodate. I'm saying we still should leave room to let them be independent. And as you said, whether my son is this or is that, he's still my son. 100%. Because brothers my age, we always get us that question. But what if one of your sons, they'll never say your daughter. You ever notice that? It says, if your son's homosexual, how are you going to handle it? And at first, let's be honest, we always say, man, pitcher or catcher. Because our minds could not contemplate that we have to, they don't care what we accept. Whether or not we love them is what they care about. And I'm not going to lie, brother, in our generation, it ain't easy. That's all I can say. Now, maybe when we pass on and the next generation take over, it'll become, you know, almost like Elvis coming in town. You know, and Little
right.
Richard.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
yep.
You know, Little Richard, I mean. You know, it becomes certain things that are sexual. But Little Richard was hetero, whatever, homosexual, and
took
over his sexuality and went on what he was delivering in music. But see, we have a hard time doing any of that. And it's tough for us. We, our generation right now, this is a bypass or an impasse. What do we do to be able to pass on certain things to our children, even though they think totally opposite of the way we think? How do we integrate what we give and hope that it lasts? Because what we got to understand is the way we came up, I don't know if it's going to carry on.
I mean,
it's hard.
I mean, did you have a high pop fade? Did you have a high pop fade, or did you have a Pee Wee Herman? Or
I had
cold
bodies, the high top fade. I came to all the rims with my grandmother.
And the first time you came, and first time you came home from the barbershop with that same thing, your dad or your mom looked at you like, nigga, what you got on your head?
Yeah. What you doing?
It's the same generational
concept.
Allowing generation
change.
It's you know, Generation X. You know, a lot of people don't even really pay attention to it, but we technically were the reason why we had a choice. We had a choice at our crossroads, because as we look back at history and clothes and everything that went on in life, at Generation X, we were at that crossroads where we either decided
right.
to move forward or we decided to go back in that same
Five.
Circle. And we
right.
decided to
right.
move forward. And now we look exactly. at our kids in this generation that's right now, these millennials, and we're looking at them like, oh, my God, y'all just don't understand. No, we don't understand. We were in an era where we were still in that same past circle where we listened to our parents and we didn't think outside the box. We did what our parents did, and, you know, that's just
right.
where we are.
Mm-hmm.
These kids aren't the same. These kids have moved forward. They're going a different direction than we decided to go. And now we're looking at them going, oh, these kids aren't going to be, you know, all they want to do is do this, that, and the third. Well, that's not the truth. They think differently than we do. They just do. And these kids, it's not that they're stupid. It's not that they don't have, you know, a
mm-hmm.
goal in life to move forward. These kids have
mm-hmm.
a different way of looking at it, and it's confusing to us. Why? Because we wanted to understand what our grandparents went through. We wanted to understand
right.
what our parents went through.
We
wanted
no choice.
To be better than our parents. And these kids was like, we don't want to be like none of y'all. We want to do it this way.
And they're giving Let me say something here.
The homosexuality, it derived from the eunuchs. The Bible talks about eunuchs, and
mm-hmm.
eunuchs were born with the male and the female genitals and
genitalia.
Not all.
And they had, one of them was castrated, right? Now, the
mm-hmm.
eunuchs worked for the king in the palace, and then there were some made themselves eunuchs, and there were some that was made eunuchs by other men.
Mm-hmm.
But your homosexuality come out of that particular piece, the eunuchs. The eunuchs were considered to be abominable, some of them, that made themselves eunuchs. You know what I mean? Men that were men but then said that they was going to be a girl and all that kind of stuff. But that derived from the eunuchs. Now, it was said over in Leviticus 18 and 23, I think it is, whereas it was an abomination for a man to lie with another man as if he lies with a woman. It was an abomination, right? But then we find it's over
mm-hmm.
here in Isaiah 56 and 4, where God talks about the unit and told, gave them specifics of if the unit did this and the unit did that, God would be all right with them. Y'all read that when you get time. Isaiah 56:4. Now, then it goes on to tell us, now, in the latter times, men would not endure sound doctrine, but they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In other words, there were going to be people up on the earth teaching the wrong thing to people, like it is people up on the earth teaching the right thing to people. Well, the people that they catch vulnerable, who look at what they teach the wicked and like it, they participate in it. We are a modern-day Israel, like it was the children of Israel back there then. We are modern-day Israel, following the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But for the most part, we have the promise, too. In other words, the things that are incorrect about us can be corrected. But there must be one that will be able to bring clarity to the misrepresentation of truth that everybody launches on to. So there is,
you know, Pastor,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, yes, you're biblically speaking, you're absolutely correct. In the same breath, just like I said before, these generations before me, I mean after me, you can't. Agape love is agape love. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconditional. It's overriding. It's bigger than anything else. And you can't take any person today that wasn't raised like we were raised. We were raised and we had big mamas. We had aunties and uncles, mm-hmm. and we had married people that we celebrated their 60-year anniversaries. We had all of those things for examples. Those examples have went away. So now these kids that are out here that don't know what they are. You know, I look at my son, and the first time my son came out to me, the very first thing I said to him, I said, does that mean I don't get grandbabies? And he was like, absolutely not. You're going to get a grandbaby from me. You know, I was hurt because I wanted my oldest son to tell me that I was going to get a grandbaby. That's why I wanted that. And he was like, no, that's not what I mean, Dad. He's like, I love everybody. And I understood it. And I look at it in a bigger picture and say, you know what? You cannot, like, every man on here and every woman that's listening to my voice right now can say, we fell in love with somebody that did not deserve to be in love with us. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, it is.
That is a powerful statement. We fell in love. What did it have anything to do with that person's ability to make our lives anything better? Absolutely not.
No.
We fell in love with somebody that we truly fell in love with somebody that did not deserve to be in our lives.
I know that's
agape.
Right.
That's agape. That is. We didn't care about the fact that they, what they were doing to us was making us not a good person. All we cared about is that person giving this little inkling bit of piece of love that allowed us to move forward, and we were excited and happy about it. So who am I to look at my son and say, son, you're wrong for being in love with this person? I didn't care if it was a man or a woman. Who am I to say that you're wrong for falling in love with who you fall in love with? If it happens to be a person of the same sex, do I agree with it? Absolutely not. Mm. But do I agree with love? Because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to sit here and say, I haven't fell in love with the wrong woman. I haven't fallen in love with the wrong man. That's not part of my belief. But do I believe honestly that love is the ultimate 100% power that God presents to over all anything else? Why? Because God says, I love you. I gave my only begotten son to you to allow your sins to continue to go forward. There's no other love bigger than that. So you tell me nothing stronger than the love of God.
And love covers a multitude of sins.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So who are we to look at whoever they are and say metrosexual or homosexual or anything else? Who are we to sit back and say, hey, this is wrong? We know what God said. God said this is wrong. You're absolutely right. It is wrong. But who are we to sit here and say, you're wrong for doing that? We're not. That's not our job. Our job is continue to love.
Society. How does society carry on if it goes this route full-fledged? How do we constantly keep reproducing?
And let me ask you, Aaron, that is a legitimate question, and I'm going to stop you right there. Aaron, are you homosexual?
No.
I can answer that. I just listen to your voice. I know you're not. Are you going to be homosexual when you're moving forward? No. Is there homosexuals on this earth? Absolutely. There are homosexuals.
Yes.
I'm not.
Yes.
Joe's not. Pastor's not. Aaron's not. Inez isn't.
I'm not.
And whoever else might be listening is not. And if you are, it's okay. That's not our society has nothing to do with what God tells us to do. God said love thy neighbor. It didn't say love thy neighbor just don't love them because they're gay. No,
but
love that neighbor because I want to be loved.
But
that's the whole point.
Okay, the
abortion
rule versus race thing is because we're not producing, well, especially white people, they're not producing as many children as they were producing. And because of the homosexuality being top flight right now, the fear of the conservatives is society going to be able to carry on for another 200 years? This is where this is the reason why they struck down Roe versus Wade. It had nothing
but
how do we carry this on?
No, you're
if
right, but you're right, but you're wrong.
Right.
They struck down Roe versus Wade because out of the top 15% of the United States, the top 15% of the United States is the top 35% that get these abortions. There's a gentleman who wrote a book back in, I think it was 68. He's been the liaison for every president all the way up to the first Bush. And this man wrote a book that said, hey, if you guys aren't paying attention, we need you to understand. Right now, if we don't do something about it, by 2036, or it might have been 2046, we are no longer going to be the majority. We're going to be the minority. All of these population controls, and this is, you know, everybody says, oh, conspiracy theory. It's just the truth in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop these rich white girls, they go out here, they go to Mexico, they go to Jamaica, they go to Turks and Caicos, and they meet these beautiful black men on walking down the beach, and they're like, wow, I've never seen anything like that. Why? Because I've been cultured my whole life. To hell with what my daddy says. This is what I want to do. All of a sudden, they're pregnant. You know what? 35% of all abortions are done by the top 15% of the United States. It's record. You can look it up. It's not us. Everybody says, oh, black people get, and Mexicans are getting more abortions. No, we're not. 35% of all abortions are done by Caucasians. That's fact.
And that's what they're worried about.
Fact.
Because the majority
and they
of the population
are so afraid. Because as black people, we're stronger, we're smarter, we're faster, we process information, we work harder, we are physically, mentally, socially, sexually, spiritually stronger than any white person on this earth. And you're talking to a person who came from a black and a white person. That is just the truth and factual mathematics of how it works. Math rules the world. So all of these things, we look at COVID-19. COVID-19 was first recognized in 1969. It is on the 1970 bottle of Lysol. Will kill It will kill COVID.
COVID. Mm-hmm.
Monkeypox. Monkeypox is, there is no difference from monkeypox to chickenpox. None. If you notice, all the people that are getting monkeypox, all of them were born past 1985. None of us will ever get monkeypox. Ever. They made that mistake a long time ago. They allowed all of us to get that vaccination. Oops. That's not population control. Let's see if it'll work. And it's going to continue to move forward. And they're going to keep trying. They can't stop evolution. We were here first.
Mm.
We're going to be here last. We are the majority, no matter how you look at it. You can add up every minority on this earth, as the white people say it is, and turn around and just go against Africa. Per capita, we still won. We just ain't figured it out yet. We ain't figured out how to work together to prove the point. Every major technological advance that you can come up with, heart transplants, heart surgery, eye surgery,
mm-hmm.
the first knee replacement, you can go all the way through. We came up with it. We can back up. Let's go all the way back. Saltpeter. We were the first people to do it. Everybody thinks the Chinese were. No, we did it first. Period. Mm. It's evolution. Mother Nature has been proving this point for a very long time. So what is our job? Strong men. Real men. What is our job? Stand up and be
real
men.
Men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real men. Stand up and be real men. If you know it's true and you know it's right, you can't tell me my faith in God isn't what it is. I believe in that man more than anything else. If that man tell me turn left right now, I promise you, I'm going to turn left, and I don't give that right don't exist. It's when you get to that point in your life, when you can teach, like I tell my son Jaden all the time, it's my youngest son, when God tell you to do something, you don't argue with him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't argue with him. You're not going to win. And his plan is bigger than yours. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plan. He's going to laugh at you.
That's right.
Back you up underneath the dirt. And you're going to keep swimming. Men, strong, true, wrong men. Aaron, you talk about your sons. This is how I raise my sons. This is how I raise my daughters. It's the truth. You're a man. You're a strong man. You're a good man. Continue to be that man and produce more men. Produce more women that can make the man that you are again. That's the fun part. Like, I look at my daughter and I look at my future son-in-law and the father of my future grandchild. I look at this man and I know that he's just not got all the answers on it. But I watch my daughter with him, and even when she's angry with him, she talks to him about the things and the decisions he makes. That lets me know I put out a mother. I produce this mother that is teaching a king how
mm-hmm.
to be a king.
That's right.
We got to do
right.
it. We have a responsibility on it. So, yeah, do we have to work a little bit harder? Absolutely. When we meet these women that are so broken that they don't understand what a good man is, it's our job to prove the point. And if you're not ready to do that, then you're not a good man. You need to sit on the porch.
Mm.
Now, when you're ready, step off the porch and come fight with me.
I guess the key we're all learning is we're allowed to agree to disagree.
Yes.
Not saying I disagree with what you're saying. I'm saying in general of the whole homosexuality, metrosexual thing, people in our generation, which I'm like I said, I'm 6 years old. I mean, I make sure I stay in fire shape because it's important to me. Because like I said, I don't believe the generation under me is ready to take heed. So I have to keep working out. I have to keep eating good. And if that's what I have to use, then that's what I do. Then that's why I'm going to pop up with a four-year-old. I have a four-year-old son. So I am in overdrive to double down and teach him something. I'm not going to be here in the next 30-something years. So I have to teach him, like I told my 34-year-old, I have to teach your little brother something double time that I taught you, because the society has changed that fast. And I don't have that long. And I really can't count on you new generational cats to carry the weight that a lot of brothers my age carry. So how do I teach my son 4 and I'm 60? Well, I have to double down. Which means, as you said, my brother, I have to accept certain things and the world changes. Because if I stay defiant in the change of this world right now, I will be teaching nothing trying to battle time change. I will never win. So I have to accept things that are happening and integrate that into him and how to handle himself. Because when he's 30 and 35, like I told my son, I won't be here. And if I'm here physically at 90, I will not be here mentally. So, yes, I'm nervous, I'm scared, but I'm still in the battle to understand that I have to change with time today as though I was a 25-year-old parent and I'm 60. So I totally understand what you're saying. Maybe I'll just charge up. Okay. And I believe in everything you're saying. And like I said, because I have a 4-year-old and I have a 40-year-old. You know what I'm saying? I allow my son to say certain things to me that nobody else loves saying to me. Because you know what? I have to accept this change. And what you're saying, my brother, I totally agree. And I have to dive into this head first. Because I have to double down in the next 10, 15 years. Because I don't got 35 years to do it again. So, yeah, I totally understand.
Inez.
Wow. Yes.
I have a question for you. Can you, as a strong black woman, and I don't think there any man on here would disagree with me on that, that you are a strong black woman. What is your definition of a good man?
We don't have that much time.
I should have asked this a little early. I should have asked it a little earlier in the show.
Yes, like the very beginning.
I should have started out with that one. Okay. Another show.
Someone who doesn't bring out a belt on me, for one thing, because I don't tell him that I'm going out at 3 o'clock for a job. Definitely.
I'm not a good man. I'm not a good man.
No, I mean, to me, a good man is one who listens, one who loves, one who understands, one who is very sensitive, one who, is always supposed to protect your family, what have you. But he doesn't just protect his family, but he protects those around him, because you never know who's going to come into your family. So you have to watch out who comes into your family to make sure that they are protected, because you got these fools and crazy people out there that will try to get into your circle. So therefore, you have to be on your sixes. You have to make sure that you are aware of everything. And, I won't say don't back down, but at least listen and listen to your woman, listen to your kids, because kids have a lot to say, and they could teach us a lot of things, because, just because we're at a certain age, I'm older than all y'all put together, so hey, anyway, but we need to listen to them, because they can teach us some things, how to be real people, and how to listen, and sometimes they'll just melt our heart, but, they need to be sensitive, they need to be definitely God-fearing, whoever their higher being is, because not everybody's, on the same level, but I know who I love. I love God. So I'm like a God-fearing man. But, for me, a real man is just a genuine person. And like, who was it? Joe was saying earlier, he sees someone on the street and doesn't mind giving him his jacket or some money, or seeing that he needs help or she needs help. Even though you might be my man, you don't mind helping another woman with her groceries or something like that. That's a real man. Just because you're helping some other woman doesn't mean you love me any less. that this means that you are aware of being a man, and if she doesn't have a man, you're going to help her. So I don't mind, quote-unquote, sharing my man with other women as long as he knows his boundaries. Because my dad, I mean, we'd be at dances and stuff, and he'd make sure that other women who didn't have men would dance. And so that is who I would look up to as a real man. He had, I mean, everybody loved my dad because he was the epitome of a real man. He took care of his family. His wife never worked unless she wanted to. His children never wanted for anything. He was the head of the house. We listened to him. We learned from him. We respected him. The church respected him. The community respected him because of who he was and the stature that he had. That is the type of person, the type of man that I want in my life as a real man.
So,
does that answer the question?
It did. And it goes back to what I was saying. For real men, we have to look at when our daughters grow up and you come up on your front porch, daughter to go out on a date.
My brothers did that. Oh, my gosh. My brother would stand at the front door with their arms crossed. How much does your mom and dad make? Let me see your teeth. Let me see your muscle. My oldest brother would embarrass me so much. It's like, oh, my gosh. I'll meet you down at the corner, okay? Okay.
Right.
But they were just protected.
You can confirm or deny what I'm saying. That's the whole point. Is our job is to teach our sons to be better than we were.
Be role models. Yes.
Role models.
Okay.
God said, God said, be show people who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So who else looks at us more than anything else? Our children. And it's not just for our sons, it's for our daughters too. To let you in on my life, my two youngest kids' mother, my youngest son, she had postpartum psychotica against my son. And what that means is she had no emotional attachment to my son at all. She birthed him. She did that, but she had no emotional attachment to him. And it wasn't a drug problem or anything else. It was just purely mental. And it took her, he is 18 now, she died when he was 14. But it took everything in his power, in her power, to learn to love him 12 years after he was on this earth. My job was to explain to him that wasn't his fault.
Right.
You know, and that's
instilling him that. Mm-hmm.
Looking at from my point as I was growing up, you know, the first 10 years of my life, my dad wasn't there. Like, I didn't know who my dad was. The first time I met my dad, I ran to my uncle because I seen one picture of my dad, and my uncle looks just like my dad. So I ran to my uncle thinking that was my dad. You know, and it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happened so long ago, but I look at my son and say, okay, hey, what you're lacking right now, and this is the thing that you need to focus in on. And I look at him in the relationships that he's been in, and my son has learned to love unconditionally. How did he do that? Well, he learned to do that because I taught him that. That's his job.
Right.
I've done my job.
Right.
Now I have to sit back and wait. And, you know, I wait for my first granddaughter. My daughter was my son's protector her whole entire life.
Mm.
Period. My daughter has been my son's protector his whole entire life. So I wait to see what my granddaughter is. You know, what happens when you're raised by a woman who has protected her whole entire life? Who do you become? You become an Aaron. You become a Pastor. You become a Joe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a Joe.
But no, I'm joking.
He's not online, so you're okay.
But, you know, the bigger picture in life is, you know, that's why we are the men that we are. Aaron, I give you much respect. I understand exactly where you're coming from. Pastor, I agree with you that we have to teach what God says we have to teach. In the same breath, we also have to teach in a way that our generation that we produce, and our not just our kids, but our grandkids and our great-grandkids, if we're lucky enough to be around, we have to put that little bit of salt and pepper on them eggs. We have to. We have to. So, Pastor, Aaron, Joe, I know you're not with us right now. The bigger picture in life is we don't have a choice, because we are as good men, strong men, as loving, caring, sensitive, all of those above, God-fearing, number one. We have to prove what that point is. My son understands that I don't make a left turn unless God tells me to. And watch him to sit back and watch him make decisions. And he goes, you know what, Dad? I just didn't feel that. That's what that is. That's our job. We're good men. We are. We're good men. All of us. We just have to make sure that the people that hear our voice and people that get to hear our stories and people that get to grace our presence, because I know for a fact that every person that's ever graced my presence is a better person because of my presence. That's good man. Pastor, you have not one time have I been on here and you haven't quoted some scripture or said some stuff, and it's like, you know what, Pastor, on point. I can't even be mad at Pastor today. It's the same thing. Aaron, me to you and listening to what you're saying, Aaron, you're a strong, good man. You may not have found the woman that has supported you in that thing, but I promise you it's coming. I promise you. I know that for a fact. I'm 48 years old, and I just found mine. Inez, what did I tell you about that? About two or three months ago. I just figured it out. I just found out.
But that's the thing is, she's always been in your life, but y'all had to wait.
In my life. Yeah. God had the plan a long time ago. He just was like, you know what, you're not ready for that. What do you mean I'm not ready for that? I've been through all this hell on my earth. And what do you mean? I'm not ready. God, I'm mad. I need somebody to love me. You're not ready. And all of a sudden, when I'm ready,
you weren't ready.
I wasn't.
And didn't I tell you that?
I cannot be mad at you. But all of a sudden, and I never know more than y'all know, I have been through it. And threw it to the point of almost not being here no more. I just wanted to love me back. But I had to understand what loving me back meant. Loving me back is not giving a hug and making love to me when I needed to be. Loving me back is supporting me, telling me, yo, don't move. When you're getting ready to leave, don't drive right now. It's that simple stuff.
Right.
That's the truth. And Aaron and Pastor, and you know, I know you love your wife, and I know that God has a bigger plan, because Pastor, you have said some really awesome things throughout all these, I would say easily 40 shows that I've listened to with you. Pastor, you have a gift. You do. You keep doing your gift.
He's not on anymore.
Every time you present something, I promise you, the next day I present it right back out here. I promise. I mean, life is. Yeah. We don't have much time.
It's funny. It's funny.
Live it. Teach it. Don't be afraid to tell your story, because I promise you, there's somebody out there that is living your life right now, and they're afraid, and they don't want
to
do it.
And they're listening to what you're saying.
And
exactly.
Oh my God, they're listening. Oh my God, pay it forward. Pay it forward.
Next time you see someone and they have a, I don't care who it is, it's a little lady standing at the bus stop with a look on her face, stop your car and ask her, are you okay? It's that dude that gives you that angry look when you say hello. Hey, bro, you okay? That's all it takes. That's it. Be that person. That's what God said to be.
Right.
And Pastor, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I don't think I am.
He's not on anymore. He's gone.
Well, I guess it's just me. Aaron, you still there?
No, he's gone. It's you, me, and Sarah, and Rhonda. And we're still here. But, no, it's, I mean, I don't know if they probably got phone calls or whatever. But, no, this has been excellent, and I hope people, you know, you share these what do you want to call it, these links with other people because, well, testimonies and, right, and links and stuff with other people because it's good information. And the reason why, not the reason why I have these shows, and a lot of times I don't even know what I'm going to be talking about or what I'm going to be or what I'm going to have, but it seems like it helps people to get things off of their chest to talk about, you know, what's going on in their life and how they, you know, how you men come together. I call you guys my men because, you know, Sergeant Parks, he's teaching and stuff like that, but you guys always seem to come together and have a good show and talk to each other, with each other, through each other, and lift each other. So you guys, you don't argue, which is nice, but you always, you know, compliment each other and comment on each other and, you know, yeah, bro, you're right, you know, I've been here and there and so on and so forth. So it's a good thing to come together and share what we have, you know, and so that we can get it out. But no, this has been a good show, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all for being on here. Joe, he left early, I don't know why, probably because it was getting too quote unquote dark for him, if you know what I mean. and so, and we had Joshua on the line also. He's out of New York. We had Reverend Ron on the phone. We had Aaron. He's out of the Atlanta area. We had Dustin out of the Atlanta area. We had Reverend Bobby Jackson. He's out of the D.C. area. I have my ride and die girl. She's out of the Maryland area. We have Sarah on the line out of the Atlanta area, and we have Dustin on the line. So we have a pretty good, you know, amount of people, and Joe is from Montana. So I appreciate each and every one of y'all for coming out today. And next week, Joe wanted to talk about relationships, why do they fail? So if y'all are going to be here next week, please tune in. Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it, relationships, why do they fail? And that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's on August 16th. And this Sunday, well, first on Thursday, A View of the Kingdom with Stephanie Jordan. I don't know what she's going to talk about, but she usually talks about, has a good show as well. And that's 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday is second Sunday service with Pastor B, A Time to Tree out of Little Rock, Arkansas. That's also at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we have a conference coming up in November, so save the dates, November the 12th and 13th, Women on Fire conference brought to you by Raw Power Ministry, and that's in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and that's 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Reverend Ron, he's got albums out, so he's got Don't Turn Away From God, Album of Praying Man, album, and another album's going to be coming out around Christmas. And so thank you to my worldwide listeners. Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot what I was supposed to be doing. To our worldwide listeners, especially to all my calling guests for joining in. And if you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us next Tuesday on Miss Inez Says, and maybe you'll talk about it. We could be discussing your topic as many times as you do. Somebody just told us, oh, let's have a topic. So, hey, email me at letsdoradio@gmail.com, and we could talk about it. So thank you to everybody. Remember, No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. We want to hear from you before we can't hear from you, so let's talk about it. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Alcohol Design. And to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can cash app to $ANAISEBALCOUR or Venmo at @MZ-INEZ, or if you know my phone number, you can Zelle me. So Zelle snail me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram under On Ice Alcohol Design or On Ice Alcohol. And like I said, if you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. But come on out and talk to us. Call us at 845-241-9985. And let's talk about it. Real man, we know you're out there. Keep being the real man you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those real men who are coming up and stepping up. And we need all of you, all real men, to be role models, because that's a dying breed. But for those of you who are still with us, keep living and keep being a real man. Lastly, I want to give something away free, like a smile, as Dustin would always say, and watch that person's expression change. He is. Yes, he is. He is. Definitely he is.
I'm
Yes, he is. He is a real man. Thank you for joining us this evening. Have a good evening. Until we meet again on Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll be in the kingdom. Be blessed.